Good morning. It's the 28th of January. Our first reading for the day is Genesis 46 and 47. We continue with Brother Harry Whittaker from where we left off yesterday. They did not fall out, by the way, but long and anxious must have been the discussions between them as to how they were to explain to their aged father that the favourite son, who, according to their witness, had been devoured of wild beasts, had actually survived to achieve glory in Egypt. There is no hint in the narrative that they made an open confession of their sin, such as came spontaneously to their lips when facing the trials Joseph had devised for them. But at some time or other they surely did so, for without doubt in later days Jacob knew of their crime. It is certainly remarkable that when they returned home with their exciting news, Jacob could not bring himself to believe it. This was his estimate of his sons. Present disbelief shouted his conviction that he had been deceived by them on former occasions. Had he, then, harboured suspicion against them ever since the disappearance of Joseph? Or did he suspect that the wonders of their first Egyptian story had overshot the point of credulity? It says much for the bitterness in his heart that, even with Benjamin returned to him safe and sound, and Simeon freed once more, and all of them loaded with good things from Egypt, and their money back once again, he still found their story too much for him. But when, a day or two later, there was the concrete evidence of the five Egyptian wagons sent to help forward the migration, all doubt was dissipated, and he relaxed into quiet gladness and thankfulness to Almighty God that at last there should be prospect of such a happy end to his life. It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. The journey south brought that considerable caravan to Beersheba, where Abraham and Isaac had lived for many years, where Jacob himself had spent his early days. There, at the altar of his fathers, the patriarch gave thanks to the God of his father Isaac and offered sacrifice. His mind was still beset with misgivings. Abraham had gone down to Egypt only to encounter there one of the worst experiences of his life, and in another time of famine, Isaac had been explicitly forbidden to seek the plenty of the land. Then could it be right for him, Jacob, to do differently? True, there was the revelation given to Abraham that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs 400 years. Could that land of bondage and affliction be Egypt, which was now beckoning with such promise of abundance, hospitality and comfort? Unsure of himself, and with his old tendency to worry reasserting itself, he prayed there at Beersheba for guidance, and got it. Fear not, Jacob, to go down into Egypt. In that land his family would grow into a great nation, and in due time would come forth again, precisely as God had promised Abraham in chapter 15 and verse 14. And Jacob himself would die in peace, cared for to the last by his beloved son. So with faith renewed, the journey was resumed. As they approached their destination, Judah, now indisputably the leader of the band of 11 brothers, went ahead, thus enabling Joseph to come out in all the panoply of state to meet them all. There, in the land of Goshen, father and son met again after many years, each of them speechless with emotion as they embraced. Now, the Lord, let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive, was the old man's word of quiet thankfulness. He asked nothing more of life. Thank you for listening.